Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the FantasyGuru.com podcast. And now, here's your host, John Hanson, with Greg Cosell.
It is another edition of the FantasyGuru.com podcast here at FantasyGuru.com. This is preseason podcast number 5. It's Friday, September 4th, and we held off on the podcast till today just in case something of note happened in the final preseason games. Not sure that anything did, but we're here to kind of wrap it up here in the preseason. Week 1 will kick off in less than a week. How about that? So we're fired up for the regular season, and we've been working hard over at fantasyguru.com to get you prepared, doing our daily stock watch report, updating our articles in rapid fashion, feeling pretty good about all our recommendations. Of course, I always feel good about them, and things don't always work out, but we do the best we can, and I feel like we've done a good job. So if you've not yet drafted, make sure you check out fantasyguru.com, all of our offerings. And of course, to answer one of the more popular questions, we will be having a lot more daily fantasy sports content this year, but let's slow our roll here. We're not going to roll it out like this week because we're still in preseason mode. We try and hook up all our subscribers who have late drafts, but we will be having a lot of DFS content this year. And also look out for our Excel-based DFS Guru Optimizer. It is amazing. You'll check it out soon at fantasyguru.com. Quickly optimize lineups for the top fantasy sites in the world of daily. But without any further ado, we bring in now our man, Greg Cosell. And Greg, how are you? Good morning.
I'm doing great, John. How are you?
Doing well. You ready for the regular season? Do you feel the NFL teams are ready? Are you ready?
I absolutely am ready now. That fourth preseason game is a tough, it's a tough Thursday night, John, as you know. Yeah.
Yes, I know. We're not going to ask you about anything that took place.
I don't know what
to
do with it. You know, that's the thing. I don't know what to do with it.
The only time it's somewhat revealing is when you have an injured player who didn't get any reps and snaps in the preseason, and then they throw him out there in the final game, like Tevin Coleman last night.
You know what? I knew you were going to mention him. I actually just quickly looked at his runs just because I wanted to see him run, you know, and I'd watched him, of course. I watched probably 7 or 8 games last year at IU, but he was just a guy I wanted to see.
He looked good last night for what it's worth. I'm not sure who he's up against, but I saw some nice moves, I thought.
I think he should, you know, is there a little quarterback controversy you want to present in Cincinnati now, John?
No, we're not going to go there.
No?
No, we are fans of AJ McCarron, if for no other reason than Miss Webb. You know, that's really what I focus on.
I knew you were going to go there too.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Brett Musburger.
Although I guess she's now Mrs. McCarron.
Maybe so. Although maybe not. Maybe not, because you know Catherine Webb has got a lot of cachet with that name there.
Well, that's true. That's true. But we digress here, John.
We do, and final thought there, Brent Musburger was right. That's my point with that, so let me move on. And let's get into it here, Greg. And what I'm going to do is just kind of for me personally, for all the guys at FantasyGuru.com and all the listeners, I'm gonna throw out a couple questions relating more to the big picture as we move forward to week one. Let's start in the NFC. Let's go to – well, obviously, let's start in Philadelphia, and we have not talked since Bradford's performance. It was only one game, only 10 attempts, but it was pretty spectacular. The touch, the timing, the accuracy on the throw to Darren Sproles was tremendous. Give me your impressions on Bradford last week.
Well, I think that was Bradford at his best. I think Bradford's kind of an elegant thrower. He can make all the throws. He's compact. He's strong in the pocket. And he's very, very accurate. That's why they ultimately traded a second-round pick for him. Can he do that every week? That certainly remains to be seen, since he's never really done it every week in the NFL. But that's with Sam Bradford at his best, also in an offense that really provides well-defined quick throws. And that's what the Eagles offense does when they're at their best.
Yeah, because really, when Bradford's had problems, it's dealing with pressure. And sometimes it's the O-line is horrible. And sometimes over the last couple of years, maybe held on to the ball, maybe got a little skittish in the pocket. How critical is the protection going to be for Bradford this year? I think it's huge, and certainly it helps that they're going to have a dominant running attack with DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews.
Yeah, and I think that the nature of their offense, John, is what's so critical, because this is not a deep drop offense. This is essentially a horizontal passing game and a short to intermediate passing game. So the timing of the pass game gets the ball out. And Bradford is a smart quarterback, knows where to go with it. The offense provides that. This is not a deep drop pass game. So I think when you factor in all those things, I think you're looking at a quarterback, if he can stay healthy, that should thrive in this style of offense.
Yeah, true. And you could argue, not to make excuses for him, but this is planetary alignment for Sam Bradford in terms of having a couple of good bookend tackles, a great running attack, and a scheme that not only gets guys open, that asks the quarterback to get rid of the ball very quickly. How about Darren Sproles? Are you sensing a more Sproles-y role for him, if you will?
Yeah, well, the one thing you do notice in preseason, and again, it's preseason, but they are practicing some of the things I'm sure they'll do, is that Sproles and Murray were on the field on numerous snaps together. And Sproles is being used, clearly, as you know, much more as a receiver, whether he's out of the backfield or whether they line him up in the slot. And I think he will probably factor into their roster cuts as a receiver almost as much as a running back.
Mm. Final thought here. You said it's a passing attack that the quarterback gets rid of the ball. It's not really a deep drop passing attack, but we've seen them take some shots. And when they do push it down the field a little bit more, don't you think it's got to be all about Nelson Aguilar in those type of plays? Or could it be Josh Huff? Your thoughts there?
Well, I don't know if we know that yet, only because Aguilar he's played some and he's made some nice plays and he's dropped some balls. And I've spoken to people at training camp who said that he dropped a bunch more balls than they thought he would. So, he's going to play. But again, it's always easy. You know, they drafted him with, the 20th pick. It was right around there.
Yeah.
And then he will play. But, and you would expect him to put up numbers simply because the nature of their offense, they run a lot of plays and therefore they throw a lot of passes. But how well he plays and the numbers he puts up, I think that's an open question right now.
How about the defense? I think they're going to be really good against the run. Give me some – what are the questions you have?
Well, the questions right now are at outside linebacker, because they don't really have any depth there at all, and they're asking Brandon Graham, who averaged about 30 snaps a game last year, ideally now to play 55 or 60 snaps. And keep in mind that the Eagles' defense plays more snaps than almost any defense in the league because of their offense.
Yeah.
So now you're asking Graham to play a lot more. Right now, there are two backups. Let's leave Marcus Smith out of the equation for a minute. Number one, he's injured, and we don't know about him. But right now, their backups at outside linebacker are Vinnie Curry and Brad Jones.
Mm.
Vinnie Curry's never played that position, and Brad Jones has, but he's been in the league a long time and would be viewed more as kind of a versatile backup as opposed to a starter. So there's questions there. I think there's questions in their secondary, certainly when they have to go to their nickel package. Eric Rowe has struggled in the preseason, their second-round pick. Are they going to be caught having to play E.J. Biggers as their third corner? They might be.
Could be good news for Leonard Hankerson in week one as they face the Falcons. Not sure the outside linebacker issue is going to be a problem against Atlanta, but looks like that could be a high-scoring game. Let's move on, Greg, to Dallas. And you have not seemingly been a big fan of Joseph Randle. Did you see anything out of Darren McFadden?
No, I like Joseph Randle.
Oh, okay.
I always liked Joseph Randle, yeah. It's funny. Last week, and I started to hear people, Darren McFadden last week, I don't know what happened last night. Last week, McFadden had a couple of nice runs, and now all of a sudden I'm hearing, oh, McFadden's the guy. I think we got to be, I think, believe it or not, I think Jerry Jones said it correctly. I think he kind of said that, we just want our run game to be a factor. I think they know they don't have that guy. So now, how does that play out over the course of a season behind what's obviously a very, very good O-line? They want to run the ball. So I think it's hard to get a read right now, John. I don't know how you feel about it. I think it's hard to get a read on how carries will be divvied up with Randall and McFadden.
Yeah, and look, I like Randall much more than McFadden. I think he's unproven as a feature back. Can he continue to bring it on a weekly basis, on a per carry basis, and hold up all that? But it's also unfair to judge Joseph Randall based on the preseason, Greg. I mean, I'm looking at week two, he had seven carries. I mean, a running back needs to get in the rhythm a little bit here. So let's judge Joseph Randall after three, four games in which he's getting 15 carries, if
right.
that's possible, because, you know, he's got to get into a rhythm here. And by the way, with the O-line there, there are some people who may be looking at it like, oh, it peaked last year. It's never going to be as good as last year. I don't know about that, man. I think the addition of Lyle Collins at worst ensures that this Cowboy line is going to be just as effective, don't you think?
Yeah, and they have a lot of young players who you would think would just – I mean, Tyron Smith is still – what? He's probably no more than 23 or 24 years old, maybe 24.
Oh, he's got to be a little more than that, but he's still very young, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he came in at 20, if I'm not mistaken. So I
right,
can't remember
true.
How many years he – played in the league, but it's not been more than five or six, right?
I mean, right.
So
I'm looking
25.
It up right now.
My point is, you're right.
Yeah, he's 24, Greg. He'll be 25 in December.
I got one right, John. I got lucky.
24. He's like one of the best left tackles in the league already.
Yeah. So I mean, they're. Why wouldn't there be an expectation that this line with the same coaching staff would only get theoretically better? I mean, O-line's not an issue for Dallas, John.
Yeah, yeah. I heard someone talking about that. That's why I brought it up. I was like,
yeah.
What? Terrence Williams, any thoughts here? Is he going to just remain that shot play, run after the catch, big play threat? Any thoughts on his ability to become a little bit more of a matriculate the ball down the field, kind of
well,
move the sticks guy?
I think that, in all honesty, becomes a function of how they play. If Tony Romo, again, only throws 435 passes, and we know about Des Bryant and Jason Witten, then Terrence Williams will be essentially the same guy he was last year in terms of targets. If they're forced to throw the ball, if Romo's forced to throw the ball 100-plus more times, for whatever reason, run game doesn't work, scores are different, then Williams might be targeted more. But if their offense is somewhat similar to last year, to me, Williams is the third option. Now, he's a shot play option on occasion, and he might score seven or eight touchdowns, but he's not going to catch 75 balls.
Yeah, I think Jason Witten, though, will catch 85 balls this year.
Right, and we know about Des Bryant, so there's not going to be enough balls to go around for Williams to have big numbers, other than potentially touchdowns.
Any thoughts on what you're seeing out of the defense? Obviously, the loss of Orlando Scandrick is massive. I haven't honestly seen
massive.
A lot of Byron Jones, the rookie. So I have questions about the secondary for one. Pass rush should be pretty good, but Greg Hardy won't be available early. Although I guess Randy Gregory, the rookies, looked good. Any thoughts on the Cowboy D?
Yeah, well, the interesting thought there is when I watched the third preseason game, they had Maurice Claiborne back starting opposite Carr, and they actually used Byron Jones as a dime defender. They had Patman as the nickel slot corner, Tyler Patman. So if that's the way they're going to play it, and again, until we see week one, you know, I think this secondary becomes a little bit of a work in progress now. I mean, last year they morphed into a man-to-man team late in the season. Are they going to feel comfortable playing that higher percentage of man with Maurice Claiborne, who, despite being a high pick years ago, is still an unproven corner in this league? And are they going to feel comfortable with Patman playing man-to-man in the slot? We know Scandrick was one of the best in the league. So, you know, I think that there are certainly questions about their secondary, and unless their pass rush can improve, and I think you'll see Randy Gregory play a lot more when the regular season starts, if their pass rush can improve, this is a secondary that could be very susceptible, in my view anyway.
Yeah, well, they were at times last year, especially safety down the middle. For the Giants, not much going on here, but we were talking in the office about Victor Cruz, and one thing someone brought up is let's not forget he wasn't great last year in this offense, even before his injury. Do you have any expectations for his role once he's healthy and alongside Odell Beckham Jr. in this system?
Well, I think that the Giants are a team that always starts slow. You know, they don't have great preseasons. My guess is that's been their history. I would think their offense, once the season starts, would gradually get better and better. It's the second year in the system. I think Cruz is probably a slot receiver, and again, I don't think he's going to start on the outside opposite Beckham. I think that'll be Randall. And now that could change as the year goes on, depending on Cruz. But I think as we start the season, I think Cruz will probably play in the slot when they go three wide.
Defensively, Steve Spagnuolo back, but the question is, will you have the pass rushers to do what Steve Spagnuolo does, which is create a lot of pressure and make a secondary look maybe a little bit better than it is? They do have Prince Amukamara, who's settled into being an above-average player, I'd say. Maybe not a great player, but above-average. DRC, that's not a bad tandem. Not a lot of depth there. I mean, it's pretty revealing that if Stevie Brown is your starter, it's safe, strong safety.
Well, They needed bodies. I mean, that's the bottom line. Their safety position is not very good. It wasn't very good, and then they had injuries. So they just needed bodies. And Stevie Brown is a veteran. Now he wasn't there. I don't believe he played for Spagnuolo, but I mean, at least he's a veteran. So they're looking. They're just looking to put bodies out there that can not make mistakes. That's all they're looking for at this point.
Pretty mediocre-looking defense, though, overall, Greg, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree at this point, yes.
Washington Redskins, do you think they made the right call going to Cousins over Colt McCoy? I feel like, just a guess, that they look at Cousins as a player who's more physically gifted and more upside. But, Greg, if he throws to the other team, if he throws a pick six to lose in week one, geez, I wouldn't be surprised if they went with Colt McCoy as soon as week two. But your thoughts on this quarterback change?
I mean, I think ultimately what Cousins is, and let's forget about what Jay Gruden says, he's doing the right thing. He's pumping up his quarterbacks. That's what you should do. But I think you're dealing with a guy who's got no more than an average arm in Cousins. He's inconsistent with his decision-making and timing. He's a touch passer. His game must be predicated on timing and precise ball placement and obviously reading correctly. He's another one of those timing and rhythm quarterbacks, John, who needs a complete offense to be effective. He's a limited passer who's best in the short to intermediate areas. That's Kirk Cousins. Now, the one thing he does give you, which RG3 struggled to give them last year when he did come back and play, was the ability to run the offense as designed. I mean, that's theoretically what a Cousins gives you, what a McCoy gives you. They have limitations, but they theoretically run the offense as designed.
I would think a greater commitment to the running attack, a shift to more power approach with Matt Jones and Alfred Morris,
I would agree,
would help any quarterback here, right, Greg?
I mean, I made the point when I watched their third preseason game against the Ravens, because I watched the offense. I said it would not surprise me if Jones ended up winning the running back job. He's naturally quicker with more juice than Morris, and he's 230 pounds.
Let's move on to the NFC North, and I don't have a lot on the Bears. All their receivers have been injured. We talked about Jeremy Langford quite a bit, so I guess let's look at the defense here, Greg. And I would think that you're agreeing with me when I say America needs to start their fantasy players against the Bears, Greg. This
against
defense,
the Bears D.
Yes, there. It's. I mean, you tell me if I'm wrong. I mean, I know Vic Fangio was there. You do have some players here, but Jay Ratliff suspended. I know Eddie Goldman got injured. They let Tim Jennings go. They do have Antrell Roll and Tracy Porter and Kyle Fuller has been up and down. Your thoughts on this D overall?
I'm not as pessimistic as you are, John. Now, I'm not saying they're going to start out week one and be a top five defense. But when I look at their roster on D, I mean, obviously, they have a lot of guys who need to play well, who've never really done that. But there's a lot of guys I particularly think have a chance. So I think as the year progresses, this defense will get better. I don't think it'll be as poor numbers-wise as it was last year when all said and done. And I'm actually really anxious to see this defense because, Eddie Goldman, it was his injury a year. What kind of injury did he have?
No, I don't think it's I haven't checked recently, but
I don't think it's a season ender, though.
No.
So I don't know. Maybe I'm being ridiculously optimistic, and maybe I'm believing too much in John Fox and Vic Fangio, but I think this defense will get better as the season progresses. I really do.
Yeah, it was just a concussion there for Eddie Goldman. Okay. Not to understate a concussion, but
right.
Yeah. But look, they do have a lot of players. I just have no idea. And I don't think you do. I don't think anyone does. I don't think Vic Fangio does. How this is all going to come together. But, I mean, a lot of names here on the roster. Some veterans, too, as well. So, moving on, Greg, to Detroit. Any thoughts on Zach Zenner? Very good pad level for this guy. He had over 1,000 touches in college. Any thoughts on Zach Zenner? Might he eventually take over the Joik Bell role here? For Joik Bell.
Well, I guess, could he? I don't know. I mean, that's one of those guys. Look, when you look at the skill set, you know, what is Zach Zenner? I mean, beside the fact that he had a lot of yards in the preseason. So if you're putting together your offense and you're going to say, let's put Zach Zenner out there, what are you getting?
You're getting a guy who will likely gain 4 yards a carry and just a tough interior, kind of a downhill guy when that's what you want to do, I guess.
I mean, I don't think he's the guy you're going to put out there in your 3 wide sets as your single back, but that's my opinion. This takes nothing away from Zenner. A great story, had a great preseason. But, if he's on the roster, he's a situational type guy that might get, right, 7 snaps a game. I don't know what else you're going to do with him. He's not going to play. He's not taking Theo Riddick's spot.
Right. And, of course, he's not.
I hear this conversation all the time in San Francisco with Jared Hayne, the kid. And it's like, okay, whose spot is he going to take? All right? Because, and again, I'm going off track here, but we're just talking football. You know, San Francisco has Carlos Hyde, Reggie Bush, Kendall Hunter, and Mike Davis, who they drafted. So whose spot is Jared Hayne taking? Whose spot is Zach Zenner taking? What is he doing if he's going to play, other than maybe short yardage, other than maybe an occasional formation if they do go with a fullback, because we know that Joe Lombardi in Detroit coming from New Orleans does line up with a fullback on occasion, but he's not, his skill set is not that of a guy who's going to line up as a single back in a spread offense.
Yeah, and Joik Bell is a guy that they're looking to, want to run it inside, maybe the closer. You're grinding out the clock, short yardage, and Joik Bell has been, fairly mediocre as a runner the last couple of years. We'll keep an eye on Zenner, but we all know it's about really Amir Abdullah there and his ascendance. Detroit defense, any thoughts here? Rasheen Mathis is 49, Greg, and he's still playing very, very well. It's amazing he's still out there. What do we think here? I mean, it's tough. I don't know if they're going to be weakened or if they're going to find a way to stay stout.
Well, their front four to me is a little bit of a work in progress. I mean, they didn't play Ansah a lot in the preseason, so you didn't get a real look at him. When you would expect him now in his, I guess, third year to really come on and play to his athletic ability. I really like their linebacking core. I think they've got a solid group, including in the secondary. I mean, Mathis, last year still played at a pretty good level. And Slay is, Slay's, I think, a third-year player as well, and he was a second-round pick. So, ultimately, I think they probably feel pretty good about it. They'll mix and match man and zone. I think the front four now becomes probably the biggest question mark with Sue and Fairley gone.
Yeah. Safeties are pretty good there, Greg.
Well, they got Glover Quinn. They still have a Hedebo.
Yeah, it's not bad.
No. And a Hedebo, if used properly, a Hedebo actually has become a pretty serviceable safety.
Yeah, excuse me. Though they're not a good matchup generally for tight ends. Glover Quinn in particular does a good job against that position. Moving on to Green Bay. And, Greg, how massive is this Jordy Nelson loss? Because, the more I look at it, Randall Cobb is ideally in the slot. They're going to have to ask him to line up outside. And you look at the positional versatility that Jordy Nelson had. You can line him up anywhere.
Yep.
I'm not sure you can do that with Devontae Adams. I've got some concerns here. One guy told me, Tom Silverstein, who covers the team for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, said,
sure,
look for Eddie Lacy to catch the ball a little bit more here. And that makes a lot of sense, but I'm not feeling great about this in Green Bay. Your thoughts again on this on their ability to withstand the loss of Nelson.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know. You raised an interesting point about Cobb. Is Cobb going to play more on the outside now? I mean, they were a predominant three-wide team last year. I mean, obviously, they do line up, you know, with two backs at times, you know, because Kuhn. But, I mean, three-wide, they really hang their hat on. And you'd have Nelson outside. You'd have Cobb in the slot. And you'd have Devontae Adams on the other side. I mean, is that still going to be their personnel package of choice now? And yes. I think we don't know the answer to that.
When they go three wide, Greg, if it's Montgomery, I would think he's in the slot.
Could be. You know, the thing about Cobb is yeah, and we all love Cobb. That's not the point. Yeah. But he's not a big guy. He's really good in the slot. I mean, no receiver in the NFL last year, as you know, John, had more slot targets and more slot receptions than Randall Cobb. That's his game.
95% of his routes in the slot. Does he lose?
There you go.
Does he lose effectiveness as a player lining up outside? That's the real question.
Yep.
Going to be interesting. Any thoughts on their defense in Green Bay?
They're one of those defenses, John, that you can't get any feel during the preseason, and I'll tell you why. There are certain defenses in the NFL that are scheme defenses that are built specifically on tactic schemes against opponents, and they don't do that in the preseason. So it's almost impossible to get a feel for these. You know, it's like when anybody plays the Philadelphia Eagles in the preseason, you know, and then the Eagles go up and down the field. No, they're not preparing to play the Eagles. So it doesn't matter. You can't get a feel for their defense. I think, you know, they still seem to be playing Matthews inside at times, which I think he's at his best on the outside as a pass rusher. But, hey, they may feel that that's the best utilization of their personnel. You know, the corner position becomes a little interesting now. You know, Sam Shields is I think he's a good player. I'm not sure he's a true shutdown guy. Yeah. So corner will be a position I would watch in Green Bay.
Yeah, they had great depth last year, and they don't have quite as good depth unless Demaryius Randall plays corner. But the rookie, I think is going to potentially see some time at safety. But although I think he's listed as a corner, but Casey Hayward.
Yeah, I think they're playing him at corner. They're listing him at corner, and that's where I believe he played in the preseason. And sure, he was a safety at Arizona State, and I thought he was the best safety prospect in the draft. But, you know, and one of the reasons I thought he was the best safety prospect in the draft, John, is because he had corner skills.
Right. Right on. There you go. Minnesota Vikings. I thought the throw to Mike Wallace was
the best. It could have been the best throw of the preseason.
It was amazing. 39-yarder right in the exact spot.
Well, those are what we call spot throws. When it's a fade ball and it drops 45 yards exactly to the yard from where the quarterback throws it. Wow. And that was 45 yards to the spot from where Bridgewater delivered the football. On the outside, he dropped it in the bucket. You know, teams practice that by putting a garbage can 45 yards out there, and the quarterback throws it, and it has to drop right in the garbage can. And that it's what we call a spot throw. And I'm not taking anything away from the throw. It was arguably the best throw of the preseason, but that was a big time throw.
Can you imagine getting paid millions of dollars to a bucket 40 yards away? I mean, that's awesome. I would love to do that, but you know, and this is that was an example of, you know, as the affinity I had for Wallace. I just feel like, and I get it. I've wised up.
He wasn't wide open either, by the way.
Not at all. No. The defender was right on him. It was Carr, I believe, Brandon Carr, the Cowboys.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, and I actually think he's a pretty good corner. I know he gets toasted, but I watch him. I think he's better than he's good more often than not, but he can be beaten, but not on that play. But I do think that they're going to take shots like this every week, Greg, to Mike Wallace. And when you have Peterson in there, it really is looking like potentially a very complete receiving core with Wallace, your vertical threat, Charles Johnson, your ex, your possession guy, and Rudolph and Jarius right in the slot.
Right.
I mean, it's all there. The O-line, though, have you noticed their lack of running lanes this summer? It's been a little disconcerting.
Yeah, but that's that again. When Peterson's in there, it's going to be a whole different animal because he creates space. So that's hard. You know, I know one thing you wanted to talk about a little was defense, and I think the Vikings have a chance to have a really, really good defense as time goes on. And I'd be anxious to see if the kid from Virginia Tech, Exum, who played corner at Virginia Tech but is now playing safety for Minnesota, he's a really long, athletic kid. It wouldn't surprise me if he beats out Blanton as the starting safety opposite Smith.
Yeah, and Trey Waynes, that'll be interesting. Do they start that kid because he's kind of had a rough preseason, or do you go with the ancient Terrence Newman? That'll be a big
yeah,
one. Huh?
Yeah, and they might do that, you know, because obviously that's why they got the veteran. I mean, you know, they got the veteran Newman because he's very familiar with Zimmer, and Zimmer's familiar with him, and I think they'll feel comfortable if he needs to start.
Over in the NFC South, Atlanta Falcons, we did see some flashes from Tevin Coleman last night, but I don't know if you've noticed this, Greg, but I talked with somebody else and very worried about the O-line this year.
For
sure. They're mixing, they're matching. It's going to be a tough go running the football and opening up rushing lanes, I think.
Well, it's not an athletic O-line at all. That's the problem. You know, it's one thing if you don't have great players, but sometimes you can compensate for that if at least the guys are athletic.
And it's a new scheme. It's a new scheme that needs athletic linemen.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's Kyle Shanahan's scheme, a lot of zone, where you want some athleticism. That's sort of the goal. They don't have those guys. So, yeah, that's going to be something really interesting to watch, John.
What kind of receiver is Leonard Hankerson? I look at him like a versatile guy, like an inside-outside guy. I think you can kind of line him up anywhere. He's looking good this summer.
Yeah, I mean, he's a big kid. He's about 6'2", 6'3". He's not a super quick kid, but I think he's a straight line guy. But, you know, the size helps. He's got some speed, not a burner, but some speed. You know, he's probably your prototypical number three wideout in the league.
Carolina, really tough preseason for Philly Brown. But But I'll say this, though, Greg. They're clearly looking to him. And they're putting him on the fast track. So if you're going to have
a rough
go, go ahead.
Yeah, I thought actually in the last two preseason games, the numbers may not have reflected it, but I actually thought Cam Newton threw the ball pretty darn well.
Yeah, I noticed that last week you said that. So that's something there. Good news for Greg also, man. He's going to get a ton of targets this year. They also added Kevin Norwood, former Seahawk. I remember you kind of liked him.
From Alabama, absolutely. I remember speaking to A.J. McCarron at the Maxwell Club dinner about him, and A.J. McCarron loved him, said that he knew where to be all the time, you know, gave him places to throw the ball. And the thing that I think opened some people's eyes, although obviously it didn't work out in Seattle, was how fast he ran at the combine, whatever that means, but he ran fast because he's a big kid. He's like 6'1", 6'2". I think maybe – you know, given the fact that Benjamin's done for the year, we don't know about Funchess at all. I think Norwood could get a little bit of a shot here, John. I really do.
Slot, right? Wouldn't he be a slot guy here?
He could be very good in the slot, yeah. And they don't really – I mean, although they still have Kotchery, who's – you know, I guess because they're looking for a wideout, we don't know who's going to line up where. They just need to put bodies out there.
Devin Funchess had a ball thrown to him in the red zone last night. Didn't come down with it. And my first thought was nothing against Funchess, but my first thought is this ain't Kelvin Benjamin. There's a big difference between where Devin Funchess is now.
Well, we'll find out. You know, they liked him. Word on the street is they had a first-round grade on Funchess, and obviously if that's the case, then they did the right thing by drafting him in the second round, and we'll find out.
Okay. New Orleans, we'll move on here. We're a little behind already. Your guy, Brandon Coleman, the guy you told us about in like April.
And he struggled a bit as well.
Yeah. What do you see from him? He's 6'6". He's kind of thin. He doesn't run well, but how is he in and out of his breaks and things like that?
Not too bad. I mean, you got to keep in mind he's 6'6". Most of those guys are not necessarily explosive out of breaks. You know, they've tried using him in the red zone, throwing the ball to him. He dropped one a couple of weeks ago that he theoretically should have caught. You know, I think he's at times struggled to catch. But, you know, he's certainly a physical presence and can provide physical mismatches. And I think they'll keep trying to figure that out. And particularly early in the season, unless he just comes up short all the time. But I think as we start, he'll be a part of this.
I'm really excited about the Saint O-line. Greg. I think Teron Armstead is maybe a little.
I like him a lot.
He's really athletic. Max Unger now. Yeah. Jahari Evans is on the downside here, and we'll see if Andrus Peat will start. But I really like this O-line, Greg. I think they're going to have a lot of I'm not sure they're going to run it more, but I think they're going to be more effective running it this year. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, I like their offense a lot, actually. I think Cooks will continue to improve. Colston is what he is, still really effective inside. I like the tight end Hill. I don't know if you've talked much about him, John, in your, you know, with your stuff. I mean, you know, I'm not saying he's going to put up Jimmy Graham numbers, but he's an athletic mover. I think he's going to be a bigger part of this offense than people think.
Yeah, we'll see. We have not given him much love, honestly, Greg. I view him as a little bit more as a puzzle piece as opposed to kind of a staple in their offense. We'll see about it. Ben Watson is still technically the starter, and I know he's, what, 34, but that's, to me, a wait-and-see situation there. But we all know that there's no role waiting for – there's no Jimmy Graham role waiting here. If nothing else, Coleman is going to take up probably 50% of that, I would think. Just a big body line up inside. anything else here? Oh, defensively, Keenan Lewis. How big would that loss be? He had an up and down year last year. And is this secondary still an absolute mess? I mean, really, is the defense a mess? They're doing more 4-3 this year, Greg, which surprises me a little bit.
Well, I think this is a defense that's sort of groping right now from a personnel standpoint. And, you know, we know what Rob Ryan likes to do in terms of pressures, but he also, I think, over the last couple of years, backed down from pressure when he felt that, hey, that he didn't have the pieces and it wasn't being effective. So to be honest with you, I think he's not going to be sure of how to play until the season starts. And then it's going to be week-to-week specific because, I don't think he has the horses to say, hey, this is what we can do every single week.
Yeah, Tampa Bay, not sure we need to cover Doug Martin. We all know he's looking as good as ever, more lateral agility than ever. They do add Tim Jennings. Where are we with this defense? Because it is Lovey. It is year number two. They bring in Jennings, who knows the scheme, so they've got decent depth at corner. Is this a defense that we can expect maybe to force some more turnovers and make some big plays? What is this defense right now?
Well, I think the key is the pass rush because we know they're going to play Lovey's defense. He brought in a lot of his guys, Chris Conte, Tim Jennings, I think Major Wright's there.
Yeah.
So I think the key is the pass rush. And we know about Gerald McCoy, but you still need an outside pass rush. And I think right now that's the key component that they don't necessarily have right now.
So, yeah.
Without that, this defense is hard in longer yardage situations if you're going to play Tampa 2, because if the quarterback has time, there's way too many holes in Tampa 2.
Not seeing a dominant pass rush here when you look at the starting front four here, Greg. So that's obviously the key to that whole defense. Moving on to the NFC West in Arizona, David Johnson flashing a little bit here. Is he a more talented version of Ellington, or is it just a bigger version of Andre Ellington?
He's not as explosive as Ellington. I'll be anxious to see, what he does when the regular season starts. I thought when I watched the game against Oakland, I thought that, he was easily tackled on inside runs. Despite his size, he's not a powerful kid. So the question is, how is he going to be used? I mean, is he a receiver? Are they going to put Ellington and Johnson on the field at the same time? Which, Ellington has lined up outside. And then obviously with Floyd gone early, is Ellington, when they go to three wide looks, is Ellington going to be used as a wide receiver? I'll be anxious to see that.
Yeah, I think we did talk about that last week. Now, in Arians' offense, other than one big year for Heath Miller like 6 years ago, it's not a tight end-friendly offense or tight end-centric, but do you know anything about Ifeanyi Moma out of Boston College? Because
he was the kid with the Eagles. He's about 7 feet. He's a huge kid. The Eagles lined him up at wide receiver, but I think they're playing him at tight end. So, again, he's a big – I think he's like 6'7", or – he's really big.
6'7".
Yeah, I don't know much about him other than that.
6'7", 239. That's
– there you go.
Oh, man. But he's in the mix here, and Jermaine Gresham is He's pathetic. Moving on. He is. He's some, the guy's sad. It's sad to watch him. I mean, remember he was like this athlete seam stretcher we thought years ago. Now he's averaging like 6 yards a catch. You know, like
I know too much about him, John, but we'll move on.
Okay, gotcha. Seattle. Not much going on here, I guess, and we'll see about Fred Jackson. So we'll move on to
St. You know, they're all, just one comment. Yeah. Oh, their O line may be even worse than it was, you know, last year at this point.
Maybe.
I know they've settled. I know they settled on what they, you know, their starting group, and they've made a lot of changes. They move Wesley Britt from right tackle to left guard. They have Gilliam at right tackle. They've got, I think, a free agent, Nowak, at center. So it's a totally different unit, and we'll see. I mean, you know, I think they rely on Russell Wilson to make a lot of plays with his legs.
Absolutely. I'm scared to death about this O-line. But the thing is, does it matter? Because Marshawn Lynch is such a beast, and Russell Wilson has got eyes in the back of his head, the mobility, and all that. So it doesn't matter.
That's a great point. That's a great point. And my sense is, the more I watch Seattle, is they encourage Wilson to run. That's my sense. I could be dead wrong, but that's my sense.
No, I don't think so. And by the way, for the record, we have called Russell Wilson overvalued for fantasy all year. And sticking by that one, there's no way I'm taking him before Big Ben or Breeze, my guy Tannehill, who I love, or even, hell, Sam Bradford. I'd rather have Sam Bradford at 100 in a draft than Russell Wilson at 50. But we move on, Greg, and we go to St. Louis. How good is this D right now? I mean, that's the thing here. I love the Ram D last year. We had them at one for fantasy. They weren't that good, but they were actually better than the Seahawks. But this defense, Greg, obviously Nick Fairley now added, Chris Long healthy. You've told us about these safeties for years. I saw them make a play last week. I think it was TJ McDonald. I really think this defense is – now they're really, truly primed for a huge season, I feel, Greg.
Yeah, the big key will be consistency at corner. That's what sort of at times held them back. And the other thing, and I say this, I love Greg Williams' schemes, but the one thing when you watch Greg Williams on film, his defenses, is there's always a couple of busts in every game. Gotcha. And, I mean, it even happened in the last, not last night, but in the preseason game before when Andre Johnson caught a 32-yard touchdown against them. It was bust. And I'm sure you saw the play. Yeah, it was a bust.
Wide open,
I know exactly,
middle of the field.
Yeah, I know exactly what happened. We don't need to go into details. But you know, there's always seemingly two or three of those in every game that cause problems. But there's no question their talent level is great. The guy who really flashed to me in the preseason is Alec Ogletree. I mean, his talent level was always high level. But, boy, did he look good in the preseason to me.
I'm trying to count the number one picks here. I think Long, Donald, Fairley, Brockers, that's four. Quinn is five, right?
He was a number one pick.
Ogletree was a number one pick. That's six. Was Laurinaitis a number one pick? I think he was.
He was a number two.
Okay, right. He was a two. Janoris Jenkins, I believe, was a two. I mean, they have at least six number one picks here.
I would bet
team,
though, nine or ten are number one or number twos. You know, they're playing with high pick guys.
Well, actually, Mark Barron is on this roster. He was a number one.
He was a number one, and he was a high one.
Was Akeem Ayers a number one? No. Okay. No.
Two.
No.
He was a two. He was a two, though.
Right. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
What about if Trey Mason is out week one with Todd Gurley? I mean, what are they going to do?
Yeah,
here?
Well, I guess Benny Cunningham, who I think is fine for a week. I think he's fine for a week.
I'm going to cue up my Arthur Fonzarelli sound drop. Cunningham! Anyway, San Fran, boy, I'm at a loss, Greg.
Well, it's their O-line. Their O-line is a major issue right now. Right. But I think their defense, we're talking a lot defense. I think their defense is going to be better than people think.
Yeah, what are you seeing out of this defense? They look good against Dallas in the third game, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they've totally revamped their corner position. In their third preseason game, they started Kenneth Acker and Keith Reeser, who both played well. And again, until you get to the regular season, but those guys have played well. You know, their big question will be outside linebacker. They've got a lot of bodies and some high picks. Eli Harold, well, he was a third rounder. Corey Lemonnier. Aaron Lynch, who hasn't played a lot in the preseason, but I mean, they need some pass rush from these guys, and they're counting on it. But I think their defense will be a little better. It's their O-line right now, from center to right guard to right tackle, where there's concerns as they go into week one. And I'm sure we'll talk about this next week, but their first matchup is a really tough one against Minnesota.
Yeah, it seems maybe they're even afraid to overexpose Colin Kaepernick. I mean, it feels like he's attempted like nine passes in the summer.
Well, their last preseason game, the third one where they really wanted to get some work in, it went exactly the way you don't want a third preseason game to go for your offense. The Broncos ran far too many plays on offense, and the 49ers were only able to run 19 offensive plays in the first half, and that's exactly what you don't want.
FantasyGuru.com podcast here. I'm John Hansen along with Greg Cosell. It's Friday, September 4th. We're gearing up for week one and offering up some last-minute tidbits and advice for those still with fantasy drafts. I guess, Greg, you didn't see Jared Hayne. Do you have any thoughts on
him? I've seen him, but I didn't see him last night. Okay, well, no. You know, again, I mentioned him earlier. I think he's, you know, I think as a runner, you know, and I know he's put up some yards, but he's a little stiff as a runner. I don't know, you know, unless he's making the roster purely as a special teams player. As I said earlier, they've got Hyde, they've got Bush, they've got Kendall Hunter. They drafted Mike Davis out of South Carolina. So I don't know where he fits in the backfield. You know, he'd have to make the team on special teams.
I don't think Kendall Hunter is going to make the team. So,
and maybe he doesn't. And there you go. You could be right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could be right.
Over in the AFC in Buffalo, do you have any thoughts on the best option here behind LeSean McCoy? I would lean toward the rookie, quite frankly, but they're all banged up here. Booby Dixon, I guess, is serviceable and he's a Band-Aid for a week or two. But any thoughts at running back here? No Fred Jackson now. So it's Bryce Brown. Looks like a stay of execution for him. You know, at his best, it would be Bryce Brown. But, you know, again, I think they have trust issues with him, as all coaches do with Bryce Brown.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me they're really counting on McCoy, and we all thought that Fred Jackson would be the second guy, and now that's all changed. So, I mean, I don't know. You know, I think they have to be a little careful here because they want to run the ball, John. We know that. I mean, they want to run the ball, and, you know, you can sit all day and talk about, hey, style and a profile and all that, but if you want to run the ball, you need a back. I mean, and again, who knows about McCoy? Hamstrings are very tricky things. But if you want to run the ball, you need a back. And, you know, that's just the reality of life. And right now, I don't know, who is running the ball for this team week one or week two if LeSean McCoy is not going to be the guy? Bryce Brown, well, you know, probably.
I might guess it's Bryce Brown for week one. Yeah, I might.
Yeah.
He got meaningful snaps last week. And last night, I mean, he always flashes when he's out there. I mean, he's a really talented guy, but fumbling and bouncing the runs and all that. It's kind of amazing that Tyrod Taylor is as good as he's looked. And, geez, I don't think he's completed a pass to either Sammy Watkins, Robert Woods, or Percy Harvin.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Well, I think that offense is going to be a little bit of a work in, you know, look, Taylor was very good in the preseason. He executed what he was asked to execute very well. You can't get away from that point. We'll see when the season starts.
I saw Michael Vick trying to play football last night, Greg, and I think he went through like 0.3 of a progression, and then he took off and ran. Like, as Michael Vick always does. I don't really see that with Tyrod Taylor in this preseason.
No, I would say that he didn't do that. No, I would agree with that. I would absolutely agree with that.
Go ahead.
Taylor played well. Who do you think is going to be the number two?
I think Robert Woods and then Harvey.
No, I mean the number two quarterback.
It's E.J. Manuel. I think it's going to be E.J. Manuel. Does he look noticeably better?
That could be a fascinating decision, John, because, you know, EJ Manuel, look, I thought he played, you know, well in the preseason, and maybe they think he's an improving player. They're with him every day. But boy, if Tyrod Taylor, and by the way, Tyrod Taylor is not a given. I mean, you know, people are acting like, hey, they got Tyrod Taylor, they're good to go. You know, and I love this. Oh, he's Russell Wilson. Well, you know, let the kid play a regular season game in the NFL before we start, you know, it's just like I heard after the game, the Eagles game last week, that Sam Bradford is Joe Montana. You know, let's let guys play in regular season games, you know. But so if Tyrod Taylor, for whatever reason, because, you know, Rex plans on being a playoff, the Bills being a playoff team this year, a Super Bowl team, arguably. So, you know, he named Taylor, but I would bet that he's not looking at Tyrod Taylor as having a super long leash. You know, if for whatever reason they're losing games because of the quarterback, I don't think he's saying, oh, he's my guy, he's just going to play 16 games. Do you think that?
No, I thought all along that we're going to see all three quarterbacks on the field at some point this year. No point if Matt Castle is cut. But Manuel has looked improved in the preseason. So
he has. I'll say that for sure.
Good. And I would say that Tyrod Taylor doesn't necessarily have a huge margin for error, but it's very intriguing that how good he's looked. I mean, that's the bottom line.
He's looked very good. You can't argue that.
Yeah. And he throws it pretty nicely too. So let's move on to the Jets. I don't know if you know anything about Quincy Inunua. I don't even know how to pronounce this guy's name
I believe he's the Nebraska kid, if I'm not mistaken.
I think he's the kid that he is the kid who is pushing Jeremy Curley in the slot here. I mean, we're seeing reports Jeremy Curley will make the team. I was like, oh, I did not know it was in doubt. He is from Nebraska.
I watched him. Yeah, as soon as you said that, he's a big kid. He's built really well. You know, he's one of those, not a burner type, but moves pretty well for a guy that size. A big, strong-looking physical body.
Yeah, okay. Some depth there at wide receiver there for the Jets. Let's see, do we have anything else here? Whoa, Jeff Cumberland Farms. Jeff Cumberland is going to be the guy here. And any thoughts
your
on
guy
him?
Jason Morrow, John? As soon as I saw the thing on Jason Morrow, I felt badly for you.
Yeah, I don't know if he's my guy, but I mean, he's not one of those guys I always bring up to you. You know, like
right. Well, yeah. I know you don't necessarily have a bromance with him, but you know, it seems like we've talked about Jason Morrow a lot over the last year, and obviously we won't be talking about him this year.
No, we won't. And what does that mean for Jeff Cumberland? I think he's someone maybe on the radar here, especially with Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't think Chan Gailey's offense is necessarily a tight end friendly scheme, but you can correct me if I'm wrong there. But, any thoughts at all on Jeff Cumberland?
Well, the only thing about Cumberland is he's athletic, so he's not necessarily a guy you have to line up right next to the offensive tackle. I think he can be moved around and he can be effective. I don't have a great feel, in all honesty, for what Chan's going to do once the regular season starts, because he can be creative. He can do different things. I'm very anxious to see what he does formationally. I'm just being honest. I don't have a great feel for that because I think he's the kind of guy that does a lot of different things.
Have you been underwhelmed at all with their defense? I mean, it's only preseason here, but they're not exactly lighting it up, and they've had some
I wouldn't worry about their defense for a second, to be honest with you, because I think when the CC's Todd Bowles is a schemer. He's like what I was saying before about Dom Capers. Todd Bowles is a schemer. And is he going to practice a scheme, you know, a play here and there? Sure. But he's not going to scheme like he's in the regular season. So, you know, as long as those corners are healthy, I think you're going to see him whip out his really detailed, cool blitz packages, and he's not going to do a lot of that in the preseason.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. New England, are you seeing a secondary thus far that looks exploitable early in the season here?
I think you have to feel like there's some concerns there. You know, they certainly can't play as much man as they did in the past. You know, I think they have to, you know, play their secondary a bit, but then you come down to the pass rush, and I'm not sure you look at this team and go, wow, they have a great pass rush either. So I think there's some uncertainty with their defense right now. And obviously they're an offense that, you know, at their best sustains, holds the ball, scores touchdowns, and then that makes your defense able to play a different way. You know, so we'll see. But I think if you just look at their defense in a vacuum, John, I don't think their defense has some question marks.
With Tom Brady back for week one, we'll see if he gets suspended later in the season, pending the appeal by the NFL. Is Scotty Chandler someone fantasy players should be watching out for as they maybe look to get a little bit more too tight end heavy in the offense in terms of receiving.
Yeah, they could go two tight ends. And I like Scott Chandler. I think with Chandler and Gronkowski, you're dealing with two big tight ends. That's where they create their matchup problems, not on the outside, as a lot of teams do. But I think that's where the Patriots create their matchup problems. Now, we know what Gronk is, but I think Chandler, he's a big guy. He works well between the numbers, and Brady's an excellent between the numbers thrower.
Miami got Devontae Parker back for the fourth preseason game. So it looks like he'll be mixed early on in the season. Give us another scouting report on him. And I know you thought his tape was a little mixed, but he gives them good length on the outside and pretty wide catching radius, and he can make plays down the field. I'm sure he can only help the offense.
I'm going to be fascinated with this kid to watch him because, like I said, I kept going back and forth on him, John. And, you know, I'm just being honest about what I saw. There were times I thought, wow, this kid's pretty good. And there were other times I thought, he's not doing a lot for me on film. So I'm going to be really fascinated. Obviously, he's got length. He was pretty good after the catch. You know, he's got some movement. He's going to get a chance. I'm going to really be fascinated. But, you know, he's the kind of guy, if he's what they think he is, then he's a 6'3 outside the numbers wide out that really helps a pass game.
Your boy Jay Ajayi
played last night too.
That's funny though. Yeah, we both said your boy to each other. I was going to say your boy Rishard Matthews, but your boy Rishard Matthews is playing well this summer, Greg.
I always like that kid. I mean, and yeah. Again, when I say like that kid, you know what I mean. I'm not suggesting he's Des Bryant, but I think that kid's a good wide. I remember watching him in college, and I thought there was a place for him in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think he's got a lot of versatility, and he's a really good backup plan. I don't know what's up with Kenny Stills. There's something going on with that kid. I mean, he had some character issues, and the Saints traded him, and he's been underwhelming thus far here. But, yeah, Jay Ajayi got hurt last night, which is not great.
Oh, he did? What's the injury?
Let me take a look here. I mean, obviously, I think he'll make the team, but it's sad that we actually have to say, cracked rib.
Oh, well, that he could be fine by the time the regular season. I mean, believe I've had a cracked rib. They hurt like right. You know what. But, that's not the kind of thing that's going to keep him out.
Right, right.
Did you happen to see any of his runs last night?
Yeah, it looked good.
I mean, you know, I saw the 13-yarder, and he had a 22-yarder, and, he looked good. He's got that sort of natural quickness inside, you know? I mean, there's something about those guys. There's sort of a gliding feel to the way they run, you know?
When I watched his film, the number one thing I was amazed by was his balance. I was amazed. I was like, wow. I mean, this guy has unbelievable balance, just bouncing off people, and he's hard to knock off his feet. That's
he
really
catches
good
the ball.
Oh, yeah. That's really good depth at running back they have, don't you think?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. If he can play, and again, you know, he's arguably the most talented back on their roster. Now, he's a rookie, so who missed a ton of camp, so that's a whole different issue. But he's arguably the most talented back on their roster.
AFC North, the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't know if you have any thoughts on Marvin Jones looking like his old self, but I think Jeremy Hill is going to be just fine. I think he's a really good back, but I kind of look at Tyler Eifert as a legit breakout guy here. I'm seeing Tyler Eifert as a guy who could really come out of nowhere and put up like top seven numbers at tight end this year.
He could. And, I think that's what we're all waiting for. And I almost think he has to in this offense for them to be good.
Wow.
Because I think that Dalton needs him. Dalton is that kind of thrower. He needs a tight end. And so I think Eifert is a critical piece of their offensive puzzle.
Yeah, down the middle, matchup nightmare. He's got to get the ball to him a little bit more accurately, though. He missed a couple of big plays in the preseason where he just came in too high with him. Defense looking good, so we'll move on to Cleveland. Anything, Greg, here? I mean, they're going to have to lean on Isaiah Crowell, it feels like, early on.
Looks like he's the guy.
Who do you think their best receiver is right now? I'm looking at Brian Hartline, sadly enough.
Well, that's an issue for them. And, you know, then there were reports yesterday about Dwayne Bowe possibly not making the team and then Pettine having to refute those reports. So, I mean, clearly those reports came out for a reason. So Bowe has obviously not had a great training camp.
He reported, I was told that he reported to camp at like 2:35, which is pretty bad.
That's terrible. I mean, here's a guy who, you know, well, anyway, we don't need to go there.
How do you report to camp fat? You know what I mean?
He's not the first guy, but you're right. No, they've got questions at wide receiver. I mean, they knew that going in. That's why a lot of people were surprised at their draft. They only took Vince Male in the fourth round, and he was very polarizing for a lot of people. He might not even make the team. So, you know, they've got questions out there, major questions.
EJ Bibbs, I don't know if you know anything about him, from Iowa State. He's opened eyes all year.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
So he's got to watch out for. But right now it looks like Gary Barnidge, former Panther, is your move guy, basically. Jim Dre, your inline blocker. Rob Hausler stinks. Moving on, Steelers, Sammy Coates. Doesn't look like they're going to put him on the fast track here. And Greg, amazingly enough, it looks like they're going to lean on Darius Haywood-Bey to help offset the loss of Martavis Bryant.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll see. You know, Coates is, you know, obviously it's been a slow training camp for him, but with Bryant not being there for four games, you never know. But it's going to be interesting with Pittsburgh because for the first two games, they don't have Bell and they don't have Bryant. And that's a lot to be missing.
Greg, you told us all about Martavis Bryant last year. You know, when we do our meetings at fantasyguru.com, our pre-draft podcasts, our post-draft podcasts, you were really intrigued. And, man, I'm watching a player who, Greg, I think I'm liking the confidence by this kid, the body language. He's bulked up. I see him out there pushing corners around.
Yeah.
I think he's unstoppable, man. I really do, Greg. He makes it look easy. Like Josh Gordon, he makes it look easy.
Yeah, Brian, you know, it's going to be really, and of course, you know, missing these four games is not good, but hopefully he gets his head on straight and doesn't do this, you know, have this issue anymore. But he's really talented. I mean, and he looks, you know, he's 6'4". When he came in the league, he was essentially the exact same height and weight as A.J. Green. But now, doesn't he look like a much bigger man than A.J. Green?
Well, way bigger because he's bulked up, Greg. And he's using that physicality. He's pushing people around. Pushing off a little bit, too, but that's okay.
Well, if it's not called, John, that means it's good receiving, good route running.
Exactly. So he did that in the preseason. He pushed off on a catch, didn't get called, and hey, good for him. Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, he looks a lot bigger. A.J. Green looks like a toothpick compared to him right now. Moving on to the Ravens, I got a sleeper for you. And for anybody listening in a deep league, I think Kamar Aiken is going to be a factor. I think
you know another guy
Flacco.
Who's a sleeper too. To me, maybe he's not a sleeper to you. I don't know how you have him ranked. Is Marlon Brown?
I'm not sure about him. Not sure.
Okay.
Not sure about him. Yeah, because I almost feel like Greg, they would love Breshad Perriman to just start at X, but I'm not sure he's not ready. And
right.
I think when he is ready, I think, can't they move Kamar Aiken in the slot?
Well, they can move Brown in there too.
Right.
So,
it's
going to be, you know, it's going to be, I don't know who's going to be the guy, so to speak, or maybe there won't be one guy, John, and it'll be, you know, a package thing depending on situation. But, you know, I went to the Eagles Ravens joint practice and I was really kind of impressed with Marlon Brown's size and build. I mean, he's a pretty good looking athlete.
Oh, he's big. I mean, what? He's 6'4", right? Yeah, he's 6'4".
Something like that.
So.
Yeah, he looked the part. He looked the part.
He does. Look, he had a good year back in 2013. It was a little weird how he just kind of went into the background last year. But Little Birdie told me about Kamar Aiken with a connection there. So watch out for him.
Oh, okay. Well, then you could well be right.
We can move on because Javorius Allen, Buck Allen, not doing all that well, but Taliaferro banged up, so it's a little questionable there. I still think Justin Forsett's going to have a huge year. Waving on here to the AFC South, loving the hard knocks here, loving Bill O'Brien, bringing the F-bomb back, and I love it. Jalen Strong showing some improvement. You know what, Greg? you know, maybe I'm a little enamored from Hard Knocks, but their receiving core is actually kind of interesting with DeAndre Hopkins. Cecil Shorts can play. Jalen Strong, and then the veteran Nate Washington. It's not bad, Greg.
Well, I've always liked Nate Washington a lot. I mean, obviously, yeah. Jalen Strong is the guy they drafted in the third round. And, you know, obviously they want him to be the guy that I'm not saying they're number one. I mean, Hopkins is clearly their number one, and I think he's going to put up numbers. But they would expect Strong really has more skills that are probably more conducive to being a number two, because he's not an explosive kid. He's at his best, he's a big kid who brings you some physicality, some toughness, good hands, contested catches, but he's not an explosive kid.
What are your overall impressions of the defense here, watching the Hard Knocks, watching the tape here?
Well, hard to know, because obviously they're going to want Clowney to start at outside linebacker. So, you know, again, really hard to know. Watt doesn't play much in the preseason, but we know what he is. I guess Will Faulk becomes a guy that you almost have to wait and see, given his age. I mean, played well last year, no question. He is 33 or 34, so he's, you know, he certainly has fewer years left than more years left, so we don't know yet. And now it's Clowney. Clowney becomes a huge piece of this, and we have no idea about Jadeveon Clowney.
Yep. And Vince Wilfork fills out a denim overall. Like
very nicely.
Like it's nobody's business.
Is that what you wear around the house, John?
Yes. If I wore that, my wife would never have relations with me ever again. So you won't catch me on that. Moving on here to the next team, and that is the Colts. You know, it's weird. What's weird is maybe it's just preseason, but do you have any feel for any the roles of Dwayne Allen and Fainter this year, given the addition of Andre and Philip Dorsett? I mean, these guys are going to be less involved.
I don't think so. I think they're going to be a multiple personnel team. I can't sit here and give you a percentage, but I don't think they're just going to line up in one personnel package a large majority of the time. I think they're going to be very multiple in terms of their personnel. They're going to want to run the ball with Gore, who, of course, we know hasn't really played yet. But no, I don't think that they're going to settle into being an 11 personnel team. I think they'll be very multiple.
How about this defense? We know the strengths at corner. With Toler and Davis.
You know, they've been playing this rookie, Juwan Smith, from and I remember watching him on film, and I know he's from Florida. I can't remember if it's Central Florida.
Florida Atlantic.
There you go. I was impressed with him in college, and in watching him in the preseason, I was very impressed with him. So, you know, Toler has played well the last couple of years there, but, you know, he has a history prior to that where, you know, he was kind of an up-and-down player, but he has good size, Toler. But I think Smith is going to get an opportunity here somewhere along the line.
Arthur Jones could hit the IR. Just not so sure about, you know, where Robert Mathis is going to be.
Is he going to be ready for week one? Yeah, I mean, right now you'd have to say they don't have a pass rusher, and that's, I think, a little bit of a concern.
Yeah, and that's been a concern for quite some time. And, you know, yeah. I guess the kid, Bjorn Werner's not going to go down as a good pick. Or is
well,
he already? Is that
I gotta
already?
I tell you, you know, the one thing he hasn't shown himself to be is a dynamic edge pass rusher. So, you know, he was a late first round pick. They wanted him to be a pass rusher. If he and maybe he's better served, you know, developing. And I'm not saying he's even this guy, but maybe he's better served as a Jared Johnson type player. But again, I think he was drafted to rush the quarterback.
Jacksonville, anything you've seen from Blake Bortles?
Give you
an impression you're feeling good about the mechanics?
Yeah, he's had a really good preseason for what really? It's worth. I mean, really? Particularly in the last game, he made a ton of throws, big time NFL throws between the hashes, between the numbers, tight window throws. I thought overall he's been really decisive with his reads and his throws in the preseason. Again, if you're just looking for evidence game to game to game, and that's all you can judge, then he looks like a much improved player.
Like if you were cryogenically frozen for 5 years and you were awoken and you just were able to watch Bortles' tape, you'd think he was like a Pro Bowl player, right, Greg? I mean,
based on preseason?
Based on what he's done this preseason, yes.
Yeah, you'd say that he's a real solid NFL quarterback. Yes, absolutely.
Like a top 10 guy.
Yeah.
Let's see. We can move on because we're running a little bit late here, and we'll break down week one in its entirety next week over in Tennessee. I don't know if you know anything about Antonio Andrews, but he's coming into the mix here because David Cobb is a little bit banged up and Bishop Sankey as well. Bishop Sankey.
Yeah, and again, because of how they're going to play offense, although a part of me believes that when they get to the regular season, they will do more with Mariota in the shotgun because that's his comfort level. But I think they still will put him under center and try to run the football. And Andrews, if Cobb is hurt, Andrews absolutely comes into play, and he's an inside runner. He's a more and better inside runner than Bishop Sankey.
Yeah, and that's a name to store in your back pocket because they seemingly are a little down on Cobb. And Andrews is on draft of Western Kentucky last year. He's hung on this roster now for 2 years. And like you said, he's a bigger back than Sankey for one. He's 5'10", 225. And if they want to pound it like we thought they would, look, they took a fullback before they took Cobb. That's a name there. That is a name, Antonio Andrews.
And I think their O-line is an improved O-line and is going to be pretty good running the ball. That's my feeling watching the preseason games.
Well, they're better because they benched Angie Levitre, for one.
Who didn't play at all last night, and I bet he gets cut.
Yeah, because they moved Byron Bell in at guard, and now the rookie Patassi is at right tackle.
And who, for the most part, you know, I didn't see last night. I don't know if he played or not, but I've watched the first three preseason games very closely, and Patassi overall has played very well.
AFC West, real quick here as we wrap it up here. I was talking with a Broncos beat writer this week, and he feels like he wouldn't be shocked if the passing offense was a little slow off the mark. And we've kind of seen that in the preseason. But he did bring up Owen Daniels as kind of being like a big key, and that was interesting because we all know about him with Kubiak. I can totally see Owen Daniels.
Tight end is always a key with Kubiak's offense. And again, everybody, Peyton Manning is obviously a major topic of conversation, and I think he's going to be fine. I think it's a different offense. I think it's almost back to elements of when he was with the Colts, you know, earlier in his career with a lot of the run action, the stretch run action, the fine throws. I think, you know, and I said this, and I don't, this is not sarcastic at all, but I think now Peyton is running Gary Kubiak's offense, whereas in the past, coordinators essentially ran Peyton's offense. I think that, you know, now he's running Kubiak's offense.
By the way, Monty Ball, if he gets cut,
dropped off the face of the earth, John.
It's unbelievable.
And he's a talented kid. I mean, I don't know what goes on there. Neither do you, unless, you know, maybe you've talked to reporters. I don't know, you know. But that guy has talent. And I don't know if something happened to him. I don't know what the deal is. But that guy was talent, really talented, coming out of Wisconsin.
He hasn't been as good since he had that appendectomy. Maybe he came back a little early. Because I thought late in his rookie year, he was pretty damn good. Then he returned. He was just not running with confidence, with
They're
patience.
Committed to C.J. Anderson.
Do you think he would be an interesting fit in Dallas if he gets cut, Monty Ball?
Well, I think he's worth a shot because I think he's a talent. I think he's, if you're just looking at pure running talent based on what, you know, when I watched him in college, I think he's got more running talent than Randall or McFadden. But, you know, I don't know if there's other issues there. Now, the one thing to keep in mind here, and it showed up again in the preseason, is Ronnie Hillman is still not very good with blitz pickup. And that's a concern with Peyton Manning.
That's right. Didn't he get Peyton Manning killed a week or two ago in the game?
He missed blitz pickup. Yeah.
I saw that. That's right. And C.J. Anderson, who, by the way, I thought looked really good last week. Did you see the lateral agility that C.J. Anderson displayed? I mean, I don't know if you noticed it.
Yeah, it's hard not to like Anderson. I mean, you know, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see. If Monty Ball gets cut, someone is going to pick him up.
Yeah, I would think.
And give him another shot.
I think if you're Dallas, you got to take a look there. But move on here. KC, where's your confidence level in this new look chief offense in terms of passing, being more aggressive and creative?
I don't know if it's exactly that. I mean, when I watched them in their third preseason game against Tennessee, I mean, Alex Smith threw 100 hitches. You know, he was 16 for 18, and, you know, so, I mean, they take a shot every once in a while, but, you know, in that game in particular, it was just quick throw, quick hitch kind of throws. Everything was short. You know, I think Andy Reid's going to want to try to take some more shots and see how that plays out. But I don't think their pass game can dramatically change because I think they have the same quarterback.
Well, yeah, I think I'm going off of what I'm being told by someone who's at practice every day that they're legit looking to throw it down the field more this year.
And right, it'll be shots. With Smith, you can't design a Mike right. Martz passing game with Alex Smith because he can't do that. So they're just going to take more shots based on formation, personnel, situation, down and distance, all those things that go into play calling. That's what he's going to do.
Do you like Chris Conley, by the way? And any thoughts on him?
Yeah, I did. I thought he was big and fast, and you know, that's a good combination.
Yeah, certainly. He could start at some point. And I don't think that's a bad thing because why not push Albert Wilson into the slot? It could be an effective duo there.
Yep.
For San Diego, is Brandon Oliver right now a better option than Melvin Gordon?
Well, Gordon's having the issue. And, John, you'll remember, didn't I talk about this before the draft, that my one concern with Melvin Gordon was that when the holes are not as defined, and that's always going to be the case in the NFL as opposed to college, what did I say to you? That he had a tendency sort of to stop his feet. You remember I said that before the draft?
Yes, you did.
And that's been a struggle for him. And he's even admitted it publicly. So that's been a struggle for him right now. He gets tentative. And, you know, in college where he had a lot of big holes that he could just run through with his great burst and speed, you know, you don't get those in the NFL very much, you know, rarely, I should say. And, you know, you have to be able to sort things out and then pick the hole and do that without stopping your feet. And he's had a tendency in the preseason, not a large sample size, but clearly enough where they feel it's an issue too at this point. He's done that in the preseason.
Yeah, I feel like there are a lot of things that we've tipped our readers off well before anybody else out there, and a lot of it's kind of coming to fruition and on the field here in the preseason, and Melvin Gordon would probably be the best example overall. And finally, the Oakland Raiders. How impressive is Amari Cooper? He's kind of like a big version of Antonio Brown in that, and hear me out, the economy of movement.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Okay. I thought you were going to sound crazy for that one.
I think that there's some validity, you know, to that. I mean, he's not quite as short area explosive as Brown because he's unique in that regard. But I know exactly what you're saying stylistically.
Yeah, I mean, Amari Cooper is legit, right? I mean, this kid is going to catch eight balls this year.
I had no problem. I mean, he was the best receiver in the draft as far as I was concerned.
Yeah, but he's really showcasing that here in the preseason. Yeah. And I like Derek Carr pushing the ball down the field a little bit to him, but little worried about Latavius with the O-line taking a hit, not running all that well, but you know, still not bailing there. So that's going to wrap it up, Greg. We went a little longer here, but we appreciate your time as always. Next week, next Thursday, we're ready for week one, the week one matchup podcast, Greg. Get excited.
I'm. If you could see me now, John, you'd see the enthusiasm just spewing out of my body.
Are you actually doing cartwheels right now?
Not quite, because I can't multitask like that.
Yeah. Well, enjoy the weekend. Rest up, and we'll talk to you next week. Great stuff from Greg Cosell. I'm John Hansen. Again, fantasyguru.com if you've got a late draft, and we'll talk to you next time.